This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Fan Run Radio.
We will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate
football time in Tennessee.
As an entire football program, we want to play fast and be physical. The type of program that we want to have and we will have at Tennessee. We want to be innovative, but we want to have fun. There's not a better place in America to do that than Knoxville, Tennessee. It's a special place to come play college football, and everything and anything that you want to do in the game and outside of the game has been done at Tennessee and will be done again.
But Dad, I want to be a rodeo clown.
Dang it, Bobby.
Excited to run out of the tunnel and make that right-hand turn behind Smokey and ready to play in front of 103,000 in Neyland Stadium.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to. Places so they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome in to the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio. Friday edition of the program. Get you set for the weekend. Some Tennessee basketball against Colorado on the road tomorrow.
Hey, my bad up there. That's
2 o'clock.
I got distracted.
It's okay.
But my family.
Brian Kelly, the new LSU head coach.
It's not Kelly, it's Kelly. Kelly. Brian Kelly.
He spoke in front of the basketball.
Oh, cheating Will Wade rubbed off on him.
Yep. Game, and all of a sudden had a fake Bayou accent.
That's giving it way too much credit. Like a fake Bayou accent, you know, that'd be very specific. This is just a, I have no idea what Southern people sound like. So, I'll just try this. I guess that is a little more, it's more of a, that's more of like a Charleston lady, like a lady of the South.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so dreadful hot. Where's my lemonade? That's Brian Kelly, just a lady of the South.
Like his, what?
His family.
What in the world?
It's the greatest thing. I mean, it's Hickman walked in and said, I hate that guy. I was like, yeah, I do too. That's why this is so perfect. It's so amazing. I don't remember any coach ever. You see this from politicians a lot. Like, They'll go speak to, you know, a southern state. All of a sudden, they have a little bit more of a draw, you know, like that. Like, whatever. Okay. Yeah.
He was trying to be Frank Underwood from House of Cards.
But it didn't come off very well.
Yeah.
I mean, first of
I'm from Gaffney, South Carolina.
Right, right.
Home of the giant peach where the butt faces the interstate.
Is that what it's called? The butt of the peach?
Yeah.
They really call it that?
The butt of the peach.
They really call it that.
Have you seen that thing?
The big peach?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen peaches. I don't know if it's that one.
You haven't seen the water tower peach in Gaffney, South Carolina?
Well, I've seen them in, you know, driving through Georgia. Is it South Carolina that's actually the peach capital of the world? And Georgia just takes credit for it?
Something like that.
Isn't that right? Mm. Or is it Alabama? No. They would have definitely claimed that title.
I don't know.
Get it? It's a claim the title joke.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Glad everyone's awake this morning. But no, yeah, Brian Kelly, I mean, absolutely sensational. If anyone had any doubts as to his character, the type of person he is, he absolutely thinks he is outsmarting the room. I've talked like this my entire life with my family. I mean, he's trying to just dunk on these poor LSU people. They've been through enough, Brian.
Someone said on Twitter, it's like when you have five beers and try a little improv.
And I do. There's something to it, you know, when you're in a place for a long period of time, like months maybe, you might start to pick up a couple of words. Like,
sure.
We heard Santiago Vescovi in his interview the other day, and you could tell, like, oh, yeah, he's definitely been hanging around John Fulkerson because he had some of those, you know, those Tri-City words in there. And he was really bouncing back and forth between, is this guy from East Tennessee or Uruguay?
Yeah, that's the first thing. I mean,
but he's been here 3 years. Brian Kelly's been there 30 minutes. So he doesn't know what he's doing, but that's why I know this was intentional. Because everybody who walked up to him down there doesn't sound like that. You know, they, welcome to the Bayou. How you doing, coach? Because they're all Coach O down there in my... In my mind, everyone just, they might be a little high up. They might be a little high up, but they all sound like Coach O. But he went out with true, I mean, hot day in the summer. Where's my fan and umbrella? Caleb Crawdad. Colonel Sanders.
I think you got this all wrong, Chris.
Oh, yeah? Is that right? I'm wrong?
Yep. I think everybody's missed the mark here. I think Brian Kelly has always talked like this. He's been faking the last 10 years at Notre Dame.
That's it.
Trying to sound like a
Midwesterner. I want to make sure I get this right, okay? No offense to you. I just want to make sure that I'm picking up exactly what you're putting down. Born and raised in Massachusetts. Coached it. Central Michigan. The furthest south the dude's ever been is Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yeah.
Okay, my mom's from Cincinnati. She doesn't sound like that anymore, but I can imagine her growing up. She didn't sound like she does now. Notre Dame. That's South Bend, Indiana. And regardless of what they say, South Bend ain't the South.
No, it's about even Chicago.
So he goes and takes whatever that road is from Memphis to Chicago all the way down. I flew. Who were we kidding? And you're telling me that he has actually sounded like that. Nobody sounds like that.
He's had it in him his whole life. This is the real Brian Kelly. That's why he had to go to LSU. He's just so sick of being.
I don't want to hide who I am anymore.
Yeah.
I've had enough. So I'm going to Louisiana State University.
He's probably talked like this in front of his mirror at the house every, you know.
It is a
Sunday when he's not around anybody his whole life.
This is a drastic change. We are going to go from Go Tigers to Go Tigers. And I, for one, am not for it. They could still fire him right now. That ink's not dry, man. That contract's not official. It's probably still an MOU.
See the buyout?
God, no.
It's like 90% of his remaining contract
without
calls.
He's a genius. Like, he's going to get fired.
And then he gets 100% if he wins a national championship and they then fire him.
Ever. So it's the it's the Edo clause.
Yeah. Well, the Edo.
Like,
and
if I win
Miles
one.
Clause. Yeah, and you fire me.
But then if he wins one, he'd get another raise. And so then it's like, well, sorry, the previous contract still carries over.
He's still going to be successful. I'm not saying he's going to win a national championship, but I think he's going to have an opportunity to play for an STC one. It's LSU. They all the coaches do it there.
Look, you might be right. I am just, I don't think so. I think there's a better chance that it flames out in a ball of glory than him winning an SEC title.
To go back, you did say the same about Edo.
I don't think I said that.
Oh, I think we were all in agreement. It wasn't going to work.
Yeah, I think we all said
that. Well, I think we all said, like, but I said at least the fit's really good. And it really wasn't Ed O. He got Joe Brady and Joe Burrow.
I'm pretty sure that we all say, like, there's no way this Ed O thing works out. This is
crazy.
Well,
it didn't work out. The guy got fired. And it's like the biggest scandal in LSU football history. Yeah, they snuck in a natty, but it's LSU. Every coach sneaks in a natty. The last couple of coaches.
Okay, there you go. It goes bad. Every coach sneaks in a natty.
You want to hear this?
Oh,
I have no idea if it's going to sound good.
It won't sound good, but...
let me try it.
Sure.
Well, this is a great way to get started. And I haven't even won all my games yet.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family. I'm so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana. But more importantly.
No one calls it that.
I know. I think he forgot where he was, and then he was like, oh, thank God I can save it and say State University. My family.
Family.
God. It's amazing. Apparently his dad was a politician. So maybe this is a learned response here.
Huh.
This is just what he and the fam do.
Yeah.
They sit around the house, work on accents, and you know what? I bet it's him who was like, damn, Brian, your Louisiana is spot on. You should bust that out at midcourt when you get introduced with your family. Oh, sports.
What if he's just so nervous about the whole thing, he's just drugged, and this is just what comes out?
Are you saying that might be three bourbons deep, Brian Kelly?
Yeah, you hang out with that person who, like, never drinks, and then they're not really opposed to it. They just don't do it that often, and then they, you know, there's a certain party. It's
and then you realize
time.
Why.
Yeah, and then, you know, some people get super kind of weird and happy drunk. Some people get angry drunk, and some people just talk in a weird accent. I don't know.
I mean, they do like to drink down there. What would be the drink of choice at Notre Dame? Like, what do you think? Like, you walk up to maybe not a tailgate, but like you go to a booster function,
at Notre
right?
Dame?
Yeah. Ooh. What do you think the big wig Notre Dame? You think it's like a Chardonnay?
I was gonna say, can you have wine at a tailgate?
Yeah. But I'm thinking like a function, right?
Oh, okay.
You go to LSU. It doesn't matter who, what, or where. Someone's just like, there's a bourbon.
It's just bottles. Just,
yeah.
Yeah.
So he's used to slow sipping Chardonnay, and now he's rolling with the big dogs. You know, him
like
and,
LSU,
and his family.
Like, here's the bourbon. The only question is, do you want, you know, no ice, one cube, or two? You know, that's it. Those are your options.
You think he took the first sip and was like, ooh. And they're like, oh, man. Mm. God. Just keep drinking until it don't hurt no more, Brian. But what about my family? All right, that's all the content I had for today's show. So whenever you guys are done with this, we could spin on to something else. But what the hell is he doing?
I do not know.
I mean, there are LSU reporters who are like, yeah, guys, this is funny. I might have to ask him about that.
The Peach Boy. Sorry.
Like the Athletic reporter down there who covers LSU football for the Athletic, obviously, is worried that he might have to stand up at a press conference and say, Coach Kelly, can you talk about that accent and where that came from? Does he address this? Does someone ask him? I was so excited. Did I?
No. They're going to be too scared. They'll lose access.
I'd be scared to ask him. He killed a kid. So.
Chris has sent me a picture of the Gaffney Peachoid.
Peachoid?
And he says, we are the true Peach Kings. Georgia is a bunch of thieves.
I've got it. I'm looking at it. It's okay. Beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, they put in a lot of work, a lot of paint, a lot of some type of molding up there. I mean, that's just beautiful. It's like the Sun Sphere, but a peach. I've said that often. Have I ever told you my story about the Sun Sphere?
No.
It might be going a little too far, but you know how it's gold?
Yeah.
What if we did it like this and made it look like a real orange? Think about it. Big orange country.
Yeah.
I know we don't grow them here.
Right.
But it's the big orange. So, and it's right there. It's
like
a big circle.
Like a navel orange or like a you can go clementine.
No, I mean, it's big. It's like that would be the biggest, whatever the biggest orange is.
Okay.
But you have to get the color right. You probably have to paint it once or twice a year because, you know, it'd fade in the sun. Orange, very prone to fading. I'd like to know what paint they use on that bad boy.
Mm.
But see, theirs is like four or five different colors. Really, we would just need one. Pantone 151.
Okay.
Maybe some little dots for the dimples in the orange. But really, you know, the fruit is not so much important as the color. Because big orange is the color orange. We are the big color orange, not the actual fruit. I don't know if you guys were aware of that. I'm trying to educate Hickman.
Yeah, I knew we weren't a fruit.
Okay. I still think, though, the best logo in the history of Tennessee football and Tennessee athletics was the Savage Orange. If anyone has that anywhere, on a piece of clothing, on a picture on your computer or your phone, can you send that to me? Because I want to bring that bad boy back. I have tried to resurrect that design many times, but you can't find it. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
This?
Well, yeah, but it looked a lot better when it was, you know, orange and different. But, yeah, that's the only drawing of it you can find.
Really?
But wouldn't that be cool if, like...
Put that up on the, like...
Yeah.
Like a... I don't know. It's like a Pac-Man orange.
Right, that's what it looks like. Yeah. It's scary, though.
Yeah.
See how scary?
Savage orange.
You know how they have, like, the little gator head on the pants in Florida? Mm-hmm. Like, how about if we had that, like the savage, you know, savage orange.
But like you said, we're not oranges.
I know, but that's, like, the play on words that everyone's like, why are they the big orange? They're in Tennessee. It's like, it's the color of the flowers, you idiot. But we don't want to be the big daisies that grow on the hill, you know?
Right.
GBDTGOT. TH. That's a lot to say, so we're just GBO. You get it. You're on board. You're with me. That's why I'm here, Nate. You are like my family. That's who it sounds like. It sounds like King Curtis from Wife Swap. Chicken Nuggets is like my family. That's him, Brian. Guys, he's a big. He looks kind of like a big Curtis. Great night to be a Tiger. Unbelievable. Well, kudos to him. He's fitting right in. So yeah. I remember I told you when he was talking to the team, you could see all the players, like when they would go to the back, you know, dramatic shot. They're all just kind of like, oh God. Did you see the crowd shot from his speech, his delivery? I think LSU fans may already be out on Brian Kelly.
Out.
A good portion did not look at all interested.
They're going to say the same thing we said when Jeremy Pruitt was up there going, all right, well, I ain't forward. They're going to be like, I don't care how he sounds, as long as he wins football
games.
Did
Pruitt even get introduced at a game, and did he talk? I know Butch did.
I don't remember.
Surely they took him to a basketball game.
I just like
would him. You though? Would you give him? We didn't give him a microphone.
No,
right?
Yeah, I didn't give him that more on a microphone.
I just feel like an idiot for not. I mean, we all knew
what
that Pruitt might be an idiot, but we talked ourselves into he went national champion.
I didn't watch his introductory press conference until
probably a year after it happened, but I remember as it was happening, everyone was like, man, this guy's got me ready to run through a wall. And then when I finally did watch it, I was like, oh, my God. Who fell for this? It's just depressing.
Yeah.
I forgot to thank someone. My wife, Casey. It's like 30 minutes into the whole speech. He's there for two reasons. His dad was a coach, and Casey probably told him to take the job. And he's like, oops. That was my dad's phone.
Daddy.
You want to get in the street?
What?
Oh, people fell for that.
I want to hear Brian Kelly in his new accent talking shop with Jeremy Pruitt.
Maybe they have been. Maybe that's where he picked it up. Oh, I can't wait for Brian Kelly at SEC Media Days. That's just going to be – it's going to be something.
Mm.
Going to be something. We're so fortunate. Love the game. College football. I mean, what more do you need? What more do you need when it gives entertainment like this all year round?
We still got tons of openings. We still got more shenanigans to be pulled.
Oh, we're not even – yeah, not even close.
Yeah.
Just getting warmed up.
What's going on at Oklahoma?
I don't know.
They're just sitting there.
What worries me is that they're slipping.
Oh, no. Don't
sitting
say it.
And
don't
slipping
say it.
Down their board.
No, come on.
No, sure. I mean –
yeah,
we had guys with Rodney Harrison. Josh Heupel was with Rodney Harrison and Harrison's house, and Harrison wore a Tennessee shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way. I mean, you know, but the money could be good enough to where he'd say, maybe we should think about this, family.
Mm-hmm. My family.
I was done. I wasn't going to do it anymore. But if you,
well, speaking of former Tennessee family members, I guess we come back on the flip side. Davey, you'll have to get the sound ready because...
Why? What happened?
You didn't see the con zone last night?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I didn't know what sound you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah.
Welcome back into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Cowboys got by the Saints last night, and there was a little college basketball. Not much.
Yeah, well, who played?
Well, you know, I read the games yesterday on the show. I was like, hey, you know. We even were like, oh, watching Arizona. And then one of our loyal listeners was like, hey, that one got postponed for COVID.
Ah.
But, you know, there weren't – we kind of went down the list. We're like, hey, there's not that many good games. But, you know, here are the ones that – oh, Missouri plays. You know, they're in our conference. But it's not a
– Did we mention that they were, in fact, underdogs last night?
It's not a good team. You know, no, I don't think we did because I just kind of went through. I was like, oh, Missouri plays Liberty. Mississippi State plays Lamar. Not really anything going on. They were underdogs?
Yeah.
3-point dogs, right?
Yep, like 3.5.
Is Liberty good, I guess?
They've lost two MAC games.
They were 3-3 going into the game. So they were some good, some bad, Nate.
I kind of forgot there was that one year. I think it was 2 years ago, and I would just bet against Missouri pretty much every game to start the season.
Right.
And I was raking it in at first.
Yeah, I was going to say, you might want to jump back on that point.
Well, it seems like they've adjusted. Vegas has figured it out now. Anyway, the final, the Liberty Flames, 66. The Missouri Tigers, 45. The first half.
The fight of Geist.
First half score was 35-14. I did point out how it was so weird they were going to play at Liberty.
I do want to bring up a point that three of those 14 were scored after the time had expired.
They fouled a three-point shooter. So 11 points in quote-unquote regulation time of the 11? Like Josh Heupel's offense is better in the first quarter than Missouri's basketball offense is in his entire half.
Listen, it's not good, but I don't think we need to – really harp on that number of 14 or even that 11, because the last time you did that for Vandy, you was like, well, Tennessee ain't going to score 15.5. They did score 15.5. You're saying you kind of spoke it into the...
Now it's against Villanova. This is Liberty. Come on.
No, I'm saying that we play Colorado tomorrow.
True.
Hang on now. You're telling me... What odds are you going to give me on Tennessee doesn't score more than 14 points tomorrow?
I'm not going to give you any odds.
Good. Because you know better. This is now... Konzo has... He is reverting back to what's comfortable for him. Because he's feeling the pressure. So what's he do? Defense. Coach, we got to score. No. Points will come off of great defense. And it's already started. All the Missouri media are finally saying things like, oh, man, yeah, the Konzo Martin experiment might not be working out. This is just really tough to watch. But he's such a great guy. We know he's a great guy. We agree. He's a great guy.
Actually,
if you could score points from being a great guy, they may never lose a game.
Actually, did you see the tweet that said it had like the stats for the half, and then it was like the media guy said it's like here's the first out, it's this, and then it said everybody loves Konzo, but man, this is getting tough. The first reply back was, "What are you talking about? Everyone effing hates that guy."
Wow. Not like as a person, but as a coach. It's a frustrating brand of basketball to watch. You know it's not going to carry over. Let's be honest. He underachieved with a team here the entire season. They got into the tournament. They won the play-in game. They got hot at the right time. It was never pleasant. It was never enjoyable. It was pulling teeth.
Absolutely sucked.
It was pulling teeth. And especially coming off, Bruce Pearl, where you're scoring in the hundreds and stuff. So, yeah, it happens. It's unfortunate.
Yes, Jeff Goodman. Halftime, Liberty 35, Missouri 11. Missouri had 14 turnovers in the first half. Wow. Has made 3 of 21 shots from the field and is 0 of 7 from 3.
3 of 21?
Yeah.
They hit 3 shots.
Mm-hmm.
And how many free throws? How many threes did they hit, did you say?
Well,
1-3?
No, they were 0 of 7 from 3.
Oh, so they had 6
so they
points
had
from the field.
And they had 5 free throws and 3 made shots, 2s.
No, they had 8 free throws, right? Didn't they have 14 at the half?
Well, he had the score as 11. I guess this was before they went to the line or something.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I guess 8 free throws if you count those 3. And this is the same Liberty team that has lost 2 MAC teams already this year. Everyone loves Konzo, but this is getting ugly in Columbia. The reply back from
Mizzou's most interesting man.
Yeah. Jeff, everybody effing hates that guy. The blue checks are the only ones that, I mean, that's not really true. I mean,
well,
I got to give Pat 40 some
credit. He could have deleted that tweet a long time ago. And instead, he has left it up. And after every game, people, especially after they lose, what does it say exactly, Dave? Do you remember? To all the Tennessee trolls who pop up every time Konzo Martin loses, your record is da 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 since he left, and
I think
you guys
it's 26-27, and you just lost to TCU.
Is that what the tweet says?
Mm-hmm.
And how about now? It's just, but Pat Forty, king of the trolls and the thesaurus.
Yep.
He refuses to delete it, and boy, people just make sure. I mean, at this point, it's screenshotted so much it's pointless to delete it. But I give him credit. He's going to sit there, and he's going to take the punches. Safe to say, right? Like, this is probably his last year at Missouri.
Yeah, unless something crazy happens.
Maybe he's in line to take over for Painter at Purdue.
I can't remember what his contract situation was like headed into this year, but if you're Missouri, you got to. It's best to move on.
Well, if they don't, he will. He'll make the jump.
Somehow parlay that into a better job.
I don't know if there are many Missouri fans that are also fans of the Memphis Grizzlies. But if you are, you want to talk about a wild night altogether. I know we haven't been talking about this, but did you see the record that the NBA or that the Grizzlies broke last night?
I did, yes. I don't know how we're doing this now. But.
It was just talking about. It's just weird. Yes,
you gamble, and so you're worried about things that we don't talk about on the show.
I know somebody that lived in Memphis, so they were a Grizzlies fan, but then went to school in Missouri. But the Grizzlies broke the record for a win of 73 points in the NBA.
Biggest win margin ever in the history of the NBA.
So you had the Grizzlies scoring 152, and then Konzo getting 14.5. It's wild stuff, man.
14.5. I want to make sure everyone knows what you said. 14. Not 14.5. 14.5, and then 152 in a game. Yeah, but they get 8 more minutes. And if Konzo had 8 more minutes last night, there's no doubt the Tigers come back and get a big win. The contract said he was guaranteed $21 million over 7 seasons.
Jeez. Why?
So I guess if he's fired now, he's still owed $7 million? $6, $7 million? Yo. Well, I can't say we didn't try to warn him. I mean, let's see. I'm not going to say we were in shambles, but we were not in a good place, largely due to some media pandering and, you know, let's just attack Tennessee, right? Then he goes to Washington. No, Cal. Sorry.
California.
Went to Cal. Cal, he decimated Cal. Are they even relevant now? Like, they're not about the back yet. And Missouri.
Yeah,
it has been a slow, steady decline, even with some of the most talented rosters in Missouri basketball history. The guy doesn't—he doesn't do offense. It's the modern game, right? It's threes and rim shots. Like, that's what you do, and he, you know, doesn't. I mean, they only took 7 threes in the first half. I get that they didn't hit any, but go get some shooters, man. Get those guys in the gym early. Get them on the gun. Just, hey, crank out some threes. We got to get a little better here. But nope, that's not what Konzo Martin likes to do. He's going to sit back. He's going to play some defense, yell hands, yell other things. And do we play them twice?
Once.
It is just once? Mm-hmm. Where?
It's a good question.
Surely it's here.
We played them at Missouri last year, so it should be here.
I feel like we played them Missouri last like 3
years. I know. I feel like we've opened the season at Missouri 3 years in a row before this one. Not like the season, but the SEC play, obviously.
Right.
I'll see if I can find that.
Well, he hasn't been as bad as Kim Anderson was in his 3 seasons at Missouri.
Really?
Before Konzo Martin. Well, yeah, he went 9-23, 10-21, and 8-23.
Oh, nice try, Hickman, at Missouri, February 22nd. Are they worried that Konzo Martin like wouldn't be safe if he came to Tennessee? Like, is that what this is?
Did they play here last year?
I don't think so.
No, they played there because I remember Folky got hurt up there last year.
I think we played them twice last year.
Okay.
Did we? Oh, yeah, they beat us here. Maybe that was 2 years ago. I know they did beat us here once. And it was like, oh, my gosh, Konzo did it. Can you? Anyway. It's neither here nor there.
Well, it was here or there, but we just don't know which.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But it couldn't be both. Think about it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, anything else? What else happened yesterday? Davey said something this morning. I know we talk a lot of baseball. This is actually kind of a big deal. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but Davey, when was this announced and why, considering there's a work stoppage right now in the majors?
I don't know when it was first announced.
It was last year. We lost here. We beat them there. Lost.
That's
here.
What I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Got that and straightened Sorry. Away. The Major League Baseball came out and said that they played with 2 balls this year, but no one knew when you had the other ball. So they just mixed them all together for the balls that they had been using, and then the new one, which they said they couldn't get all the new ones in, because of supply chain issues.
Which, I mean, that is what everyone's excuse is now. Mm-hmm. Whether it's real or not, I don't know. But doesn't that kind of seem like a big deal?
So they,
because a couple years ago, well, they went to the quote unquote juiced ball,
right?
And then they didn't have enough of them, yeah. And so now they had two different baseballs.
Yeah, one was heavier, but the players and the managers, no one knew which ones, or even the umpires for that matter, which ones they had.
Right.
So it's just like after one pitch, I mean, you could throw a slider and it's going great, but then they give you a heavier ball and you don't really adjust for it.
Oh, yeah, I just didn't have the movement on that slider. I don't know. It's been going good the last three pitches, and then puts one in the dirt. Maybe that got in his head. No, just different ball.
That's ridiculous.
If I bet on Major League Baseball one time over the last year, which I didn't, I'd want my money back.
Yeah, it's very frustrating. The over-unders were – there were even some books that stopped putting out over-unders because they never could really get a good feel for the year. It just seemed as though it's like, this is off. It's like, well, this doesn't make sense. Well,
there you
and
go.
And now they've realized why it didn't make sense.
And didn't your baseball model just not
– I just stopped doing over-unders altogether.
But like everything you did for the model just wasn't really working out, right?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, like the money line was fine. Like I made a very small profit, but as far as trying to – like,
yeah, there was
touch
no
over
big advantage,
was,
right? Yeah. And that, I mean, that's imagine if in a college football game, like, hey, you're gonna be playing with two footballs that look identical, and you can't change it once you get the snap, but one weighs a pound more.
Yeah, one's deflated.
Well, they'd probably like that.
Well, they would, but which one do you think would be putting up better stats with?
Probably the deflated one.
Yeah,
that's we're making the same point.
No, we are.
That's just wild.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's even – the ball is so much more important, though, in baseball than any other sport.
Right, yeah. Because, movement on a pitch, and then I don't know what the difference is between, ball A and ball B, but if one ball is going to be a pop fly to the warning track and the other is going to go 20 feet deep in the stands,
right.
I mean, it's no doubt.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, theoretically, like in a football game or a basketball game, there's so few balls compared to a baseball game.
Oh, sure.
Well, like you can at least make sure they're all the same.
Yeah, what's the average in a baseball game? Isn't it something?
It's
like 100, isn't it?
Oh, I have no idea. In the majors, I mean, they're chucking those things out of play all the time. That just doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're not...
Yeah, it's 7 to 10 dozen.
Every game.
So yeah. Up to 120, but... over 80.
It seems like they would. I mean, that's just crazy. It seems like it would make more sense to play half the year with one ball all the same and then switch to the other ball the same.
Oh, I'd agree with that.
And just say, hey, we're going to a different ball. We don't know if it's going to be.
Right. This might be lighter, better, worse. We don't know. But it's going to be the same for everybody on every pitch in every game.
Yeah. I mean, having the same ball. In an entire game is more important than trying to we're going to mix them up and you just get what you get.
Well, and it's different too because in baseball I don't know how to phrase this exactly. Like you're delivering something to the other team. Like it is your pitch.
Yeah, you're not throwing it to your own guys like in football.
Right, and it's not golf. It's like I'm hitting my ball. I like this ball because it allows me to do this and I'm going to sacrifice some distance because I want to spin it around the green. It's not, football, I'm sitting back here, I'm throwing it to my team. I'm not trying to deceive you or trick you or whatever. In baseball, like what? Mm-hmm. Like that's just it just makes no sense.
Well, I mean,
to
they
me.
Also said it was bouncier, so I mean, you can get it to where it hops just differently.
Right, a funny bounce off the end. Yeah, then the next same way off the bat's a different ball. It doesn't bounce as high. It goes under your glove. Like, it's just, that's wild to me.
Crazy, man.
It's very sad. Mm.
We'll come back. Final segment. Hour number one. We'll get to some phone calls. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. All phone calls today brought to you on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
It's over.
What?
JT, one of the 37. Love him to death, but he sent the Vol shop a picture of the Savage Orange, so now they're going to get it. Tennessee's going to get all the money from the Savage Orange reboot.
I'm sorry.
Looks like me and Hickman are going to have to stick to flocking. Dang it.
I'm not even a fan of the Savage Orange logo.
Why?
That's just not us.
Yeah, it is. Once our defense gets good, oh, the Savage Orange. Mm. Or Orange Swarm, whatever. That's cool. What is Orange Swarm? It's not even a thing. Savage Orange.
Schwarman, oh, that's not a Syracuse thing?
It's Swarming defense.
Yeah.
All phone calls brought to you on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
First of all, they were the Orange Men. They switched it to Orange because they're stupid. And then they said in the announcement, we're the only team. Do you remember that?
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah. When they switched from Orangemen to Orange, they said, verbatim, we are the only team in college football that utilizes orange as our primary color. The only team. Their home uniform is navy blue. The jersey, navy blue.
What?
That's what they said. We're the only team in college football,
okay,
in college athletics, that utilizes orange as our primary color.
Tennessee.
Tennessee, Clemson, Illinois, Texas, Boise, maybe
Oregon
blue?
State.
Oregon State.
I mean, some of those you can make a case as the other color, I guess, but not Tennessee, Clemson, and Texas.
No.
Texas doesn't even have another color.
I know. Neither do we. I mean, once Butch created smoky gray.
I got black uniform. Well,
Clemson has had purple for a long time.
Well, they're orange and purple, but orange is definitely the primary.
No, I know, yeah.
Same way at Syracuse, it's orange and navy blue.
I think it's navy blue and orange. And their home jersey is navy.
Let's go.
Their helmet's orange.
Let's go to the G3 Help Me Hotline. So we got Matt on the horn. What's up, Matt?
What's up, guys? Happy Friday.
Morning, brother.
Well, I'll stick on this topic since we're talking about it, because yesterday there was some stuff thrown around with, you know, the renovations and all that good stuff, and you know, traditionalists versus modern,
mm-hmm.
all that. I think Russell and them were talking about it on the afternoon show. Why? Let me ask you guys this. Why is it traditionalists, and I consider myself a traditionalist, why is it we get screwed on everything? We've not got our way on anything if you go back over the last 10, 15 years, whether it be jersey colors, whether it be anything that's traditional, the school has changed. And now, have they clarified if they're going to keep it above 100,000 or below 100,000?
That seems impossible at this point.
They haven't like come out and said, because they don't want the smoke. But yeah, I mean, the insiders have said that it's going to go down at least, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 seats, which is way over the number. Yeah, you're going under 100.
How do you know it's not already under 100,000? You know, it's just
This is going under 100,000 is just absolutely stupid. I mean. That number.
To Davey's point, though, Matt, what if it was at like 97, but they said nope, we left it at 100,000. We swear.
I don't know. Whatever they got to do to make it 100,000, I don't care. It's just you've got to be able to publicly claim that number, because we're one of only a few stadiums that are over 100,000 seats.
Yeah, we counted this not too long ago. Is it 4 or 5, maybe?
Yeah, that's
it. Might be
it's
6.
More, it's more than that.
I think it was no more than 8. It might be 7.
I mean, we're number 4 now in the SEC. I know A&M holds more. I think LSU technically holds more.
LSU might.
So that goes to my point there, Davey. See, that's the problem with the administration. This is why I hate this university, because we used to be have an abundant mentality, right? It was always the biggest and the best. We were going to do whatever it took. Now nobody over there in the hills got that anymore. It's like we're the 4th best. Okay, that's okay with us. We're the 7th best in the SEC on offense. Okay, that's okay with us. I mean, we have no. If we need somebody over there to stand up and say, you know what, screw that. We're actually going to beat Michigan and have the biggest stadium in the country. That we used to have the biggest stadium in the country. I don't know if Davey remembers that, but we used to be above 105. I think. For a while, just for a little bit.
Yeah, I think the record was 2004 against Florida. It was like 109 something. But yeah, for a long time, it was 107 a few times a year.
Matt, I'll combat you a little bit. Butch Jones wanted to play at Bristol, so it'd be the largest game ever attended for college football.
It was.
I know. What's your point?
Well, he's saying he went for it. Went to be the biggest and the best.
And that was a fun game, and that's something that'll never be eclipsed. I'll give Butch Jones credit, and you guys know I can't stand the clown, but hey, he recruited, and he at least got some people in the seats. I mean, I don't think Butch Jones would want to drop him below 100,000. You guys got to admit that's a recruiting tool. I mean,
No, 100%. I mean, at this point, like, I'm not going to go over there and walk around with a sign and, like, picket the idea, but no. And what the frustrating part for me, Matt, is they held all these focus groups, you know, all season long. And I talked to, I mean, four or five people who are in these groups, and they all said that that was one of the first questions they asked was, how would you feel if the stadium went under 100,000? And every one of them said that the entire focus group was just absolutely not, do not drop under 100,000, you know. And I get it, like, they asked a bunch of other questions, and some of the stuff they've implemented, like bringing back the VOLS and, you know, some stupid stuff here and there, like signs and more concessions here and all that. But if you're going to lead with that question because you know it's the most important, why is that the only answer that you completely disregarded?
Yeah, because it's the University of Tennessee and they're a bunch of dumbasses. That's why.
Well, it's a brand new group of people.
It's they wanted to. They knew they were going to drop it no matter what. Like, they knew going
then
in.
Then don't
plans,
ask the question.
Well, they wanted to ask the question because they followed it up with a bunch of stuff they felt like they could give the fans in return, and it was always going to be some give, some take.
Well, who's the dumbass overseeing that thing? If you know you're going to drop it below 100,000, and let's say they end up in the numbers 98, you can't find, in your abundance of millions and millions of dollars in revenue here, you can't find 2,000 seats to throw in there somewhere?
Oh, Matt, when it's all said and done, we're still going to be over 100,000 because they're just going to lie. No one's going to go over there and count.
Yeah, they're just going to tell you that we are.
I don't know. Well, we won't be over 100,000 if the maximum capacity list is 98.9.
But they're not going to list
that. I mean, right now the capacity is 102,455. That's the capacity. So they can't go above that. If they take out 3,000 seats, they can't lie and say we're 100,222 or whatever the number is.
But most of them are bleachers where they can just kind of move those numbers. It's not like they're actual seat backs.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. I know stadiums change and stuff like this, but that's been a sticking point for Tennessee my whole life. I mean, I've been a fan since the 80s, and I know we moved up to 100,000 in the early 90s or whatever it was, and then we've been that way since. And we used to be able to push that, and we used to combat everybody else. And I'm just sick and tired of this whole, like, just accepting mediocrity here at this program. It's like over 100,000 is a huge accomplishment, especially if you're talking about the Coliseum and the way that thing's set up. And there's just something about, I know that number's fictional, but there's just something about 100,000 people. It doesn't make a difference in sound. It doesn't make a difference in anything except for the number, but that's an important number.
No, and I thought Christopher Gabriel had a really good point. It's a point of pride, you know, for those schools that can get six digits to be able to say, hey, we're one of six or seven schools that can do this. No matter how good Clemson is, no matter how good Georgia is, they can't do this. They can't put this many people into the stadium. So, no, I'm with you. And I don't like it. And maybe, Matt, and I'm spitballing here, once they get the renovations done, if the team gets really good and there's that much of a demand, maybe there's a way they can add more seats. I don't know if the third deck is ever going to be a real thing. Probably not. But maybe there's an opportunity for that down the road. But this is kind of phase one, and this is where they had to start to get the money to pay for all the other stuff. And, yeah, like, you're probably just going to be under 100,000 for a while.
All right, guys. See y'all.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate the phone call, buddy. I'm with him. I don't like it.
Well, we'll come back.